Swami Chidbhavananda joined the Ramakrishna order at a very young age. Later, he established his own ashramam near Tiruchi, which is flourishing. His birth centenary was celebrated recently. It was in the year 1922 that a few of us religiously inclined college students undertook a pilgrimage from Madras to Tiruvannamalai for a darshan of Ramana Maharishi. The ashramam was then in its initial stage. An august person was seated on a raised platform, and it was evident he was the sage whom we had come to see. Around him on the floor were seated a number of devotees, all intently looking at him, and we found our places among them. Silence reigned supreme. The presiding deity of the ashramam was the author of that silence, hence its perfection. This was a novel experience for us, but we took to this congenial environment quite happily. There was no such thing as a formal introduction of newly arrived devotees. As others did, we sat quietly. Maharishi turned his penetrating gaze at us off and on. We felt ourselves highly blessed by his benign look. Occasionally, he spoke a word or two, which was always pertinent and to the point. But his silence was more eloquent. An occasional smile revealed his bliss. Visiting devotees often brought packets of sugar candy or some such thing and offered them to him. He would help himself to a tiny piece from the packet and pass it on to the assembled group. Then and there, it would be shared by the entire lot. I made deeper personal contact with Maharishi in the year 1928. I had renounced the world in 1923 and joined the Ramakrishna Math. In 1926, I entered the order of Sannyasa. From 1926 to 1940, I was in charge of the Ramakrishna Ashramam at Ottakamand. During that period, when I travelled between Ottakamand and Madras, I took as many opportunities as possible to go to Tiruvannamalai in order to see the Maharishi. I was not inclined to talk much with him. Being seated in his presence was more than sufficient. Occasionally he spoke, but his silence was what I sought and prized every time I went to him. A purified inquirer made a rich harvest of the blissful calmness that prevailed in his presence. The Maharishi occupied a couch in a corner of a middle-sized hall in the ashramam. Barring this corner, the entire hall was at the disposal of the visiting public, and anybody could go into the hall at any time of the day or night. Visiting devotees would quietly steal in, sit for a while in quiet meditation, and then leave unobtrusively. One day, a man following the path of devotion came in and occupied a place very near the sage. Then he unburdened all that lay buried in his heart. His speech was choked with feeling. He poured forth, "I have gone on pilgrimage all over the land. I have been regular in my spiritual practices. Many a sleepless night have I passed in prayer. Still, to this day, I have had no mercy from the Lord. I am forlorn." He cried bitterly, but Maharishi sat unconcerned. Eventually, all his suppressed feelings were worked out. And then, in a measured voice, the sage said, "Strange man, he cries, What is there to sob about? Instead of being poised in the blissful self, he goes on wailing. This observation had a telling effect. The man saw that his problem was self-created and a new chapter in his life started. On another occasion, a talkative man made his appearance in the hall. He chose to sit near the sage and unceremoniously raised a question, "Bhagavan, what is your view on birth control?" There was no answer. So the man explained at length the importance of the topic. Again, getting no reply, he continued until he could say no more and then fell silent. Silence reigned supreme in the hall. In the midst of this silence, Maharishi asked, "Do you know death control?" There was no response. One day, it was suggested to Maharishi that no spiritual progress could ever be made without sadhana or spiritual discipline. After a pause, he made these observations. "Mind, it is that binds man, and the same mind, it is that liberates him. Mind is constituted of sankalpa and vikalpa, desire and disposition. Desire shapes and governs disposition. Desire is of two kinds, the noble and the base. The base desires are lust and greed. Noble desire is directed towards enlightenment and emancipation. Base desire contaminates and clouds the understanding. Sadhana is easy for the aspirant who is endowed with noble desires. Calmness is a criterion of spiritual progress. Plunge the purified mind into the heart, then the work is over. This is the essence of all spiritual discipline." During one of my visits, I was seated at some distance from Maharishi. There were many devotees in the hall and the usual silence prevailed. I remembered his injunction to plunge the pure mind into the heart and decided to practice it then. I gazed at him and he gazed back at me. What followed was indescribable. His body seemed a glass case from which a blissful brilliance streamed out. More than half an hour passed this way. It was an experience unique and unforgettable. It confirmed Ramakrishna's statement that spiritual experience can be transmitted from one person to another in the manner in which material things are handed over. Bharatavarsha is ever the bestower of spirituality on mankind. Ramana Maharishi is verily a true spiritual son of this holy land who spontaneously and impersonally showered benediction on mankind. Sourced from The Mountain Path, Jayanti, 1998.